Conrad and I walk home the next day, thinking about what Clara meant by burning. Well, I'm thinking about burning. Conrad doesn't think about anything except food and belly scratches. Ghosts usually don't talk in riddles. This is something new. They talk about the future sometimes, but it's always straightforward. Take an umbrella tomorrow, or don't eat the food at Tony's because you'll get food poisoning. It's never been something like this. How long will this burning last? Are all ghosts really off limits now? I cross my arms, shuddering against the unusual Alabama cold. Will looked so panicked last night when she asked if she would ever talk to Clara again. My letters are the last connection she has with her former family. I need to figure this out. And quick. I have 3 clients depending on me to summon ghosts for them this week. But Clara said not to contact anyone. I need that letter money. Someone has to pay the light bill soon, or we'll be in the dark. Conrad tugs at my backpack, whining. I roll my eyes and reach for his stuffed lamb, his favorite toy. It's wool, it's permanently gray, and both eyes were chewed off years ago. Conrad charges ahead, tail a blur, and waits for me to throw it. I toss the toy into the air, and he leaps, catching it in his massive jaws. He spins in the air once before landing on his feet with a whoomp. This is the only trick he knows. I love Conrad, but he's not the sharpest dog I've ever met. Sometimes he's scared of his own tail. I laugh as he runs back to me and nudges my hand, begging for more. No, no more. I gotta think about this ghost stuff and you're distracting me. Conrad huffs. He falls into step beside me again, but he's slower this time. His hip is bothering him. He holds his back leg high above the ground. I pet his head, frowning. His old injury has been getting worse lately, and a trip to the vet is impossible. I'll have to give him some baby aspirin when we get home and figure out what this burning thing is, and deal with Gerald eventually. Jesus, it's always something. What do you think she meant by burning, boy? I ask Conrad. He wags his tail in response, his jaws clamped around the lamb, and I scratch behind his ears. Conrad and I hop over the railroad tracks, the unofficial divide between my neighborhood and the rest of Meyer. It takes 10 minutes to get from Will's house to mine on foot. Manicured bushes and perfectly mowed lawns slowly melt into barred liquor stores and abandoned houses. Men smoking on their stoops watch me pass, uninterested. No one messes with me. They know I have nothing to give them. One house is nothing but rubble. Rumor has it, Marquise burned it down last year because the owner, Mrs. Jean, couldn't settle her debts. Well, it's not really a rumor. Everyone knows the price of getting on the bad side of Marquise, Meyer's biggest drug dealer. Mrs. Jean is lucky she's still alive. I rub the top of my head, remembering the scent of hot combs running through hair. Mrs. Jean's house was a makeshift hair salon, a place where kids crowded into her living room on hot Saturday afternoons. Mom used to take me there to get my hair pressed and to gossip with the other parents. I liked Mrs. Jean, but I got sick of Mom wasting $40 every 2 weeks, so I shaved all my hair off. Now it's short and curly, but manageable, and every month we're 80 bucks richer. By the time I get home, a tiny 2-bedroom townhouse with faded brick facade, crumbling steps, and a leaky bathroom I haven't managed to fix yet, I'm winded and wishing I could go back to Will's. I stayed at her house all day today, Sunday, dodging her questions about Clara and helping her start a new art project so I could avoid Gerald. He should be working his shift at Wendy's by now. Should. I pet Conrad and he licks my arm in support. All right, Con, here we go. Conrad tips his head to one side, his brown eyes searching mine. He nudges my leg with his wet nose. Dread swirls in my stomach. I'm right in front of the door, but I don't go in.